Get comfortable. Church pews are intentionally uncomfortable to keep you awake. If I can't keep you awake, that's my problem. You be comfortable. You know, there are many different types of yoga. What we've just done is called hatha yoga. Hatha yoga is the physical practice of yoga. What we are moving into now is a different type of yoga. As we meditate and as I speak, this is bhakti yoga. It's all yoga. This is simply devotional yoga. And it's funny because as I've told people that we were going to begin doing this, we want to start doing yoga on Sundays and combine it basically with music and a Dharma talk and everything, people are like, wow, that's so cool. Nobody's doing that. Actually, it's been done for thousands of years. Bhakti yoga came first, the devotional yoga that we're doing right now. Hatha yoga came specifically so people could stretch their bodies and feel comfortable sitting for long periods of time practicing bhakti yoga. So that's, we're really sort of returning to the way things were originally. I'm on the third week of a series that I'm doing called The Five Great Spiritual Truths. This came about when Marty was doing some talks about the five yamas, or the yamas of yoga. That's sort of, if you ask people what is that, they'll say it's sort of like the Ten Commandments. And so as I started looking at these five yamas, I also started looking at the Ten Commandments. And wonder of wonder, five of the five that are in what Patanjali, the five yoga yamas, is that the rain starting? Listen, isn't that cool? That's cool. It's a blessing. It's cool. Five, all five of the yamas of Patanjali appear in the Ten Commandments. If you then look at the Ten Commandments, they're in the five yamas. They're also in the five precepts of Buddhism, as well as Jesus Christ speaks about them on the Sermon on the Mount. Take that in for a second. You've got people in different religions all over the world at different times throughout history, and they all basically come up with five things that we should do or five things that we should avoid doing. So I've already talked about the first two. The first two are non-harming or non-killing. The second one is non-lying. And I'm going to talk today about non-stealing. All of them have a concept of not stealing. Let me share with you something that I've been studying lately. There are two overarching types of religions. Can y'all hear me over there? Good. Carol, you let us know if the rain gets too loud. There are two basic types of religions. There are theocratic and there are karmic. Theocratic would be Judaism and Christianity. There is a theocratic God. There is a God out there. All religions, if you think about them, are based in some kind of ethics. They're all about doing unto others as you would have done unto you, and not doing to others what you would not have done to you. With the theocratic religions, like Judaism and Christianity, God is out there and God is going to punish you if you're not ethical. Does that make sense? Now, with the karmic religions, such as Hinduism and Buddhism, and karma, by the way, just means action, which I find interesting. We think karma means you do something. Karma means boomerang, right? That's what we think. We do it and it comes back to get us. As soon as we do it, it's on its way. There's no boomerang. The action is the very karmic thing that we do. And we need to remember that karma is positive as well as negative. And so when we are considering a karmic religion, again, they are all based on ethics. But you don't need a God out there to punish you, because life is going to punish you. So I'd like to tell you which God I have selected, whether it be theocratic or karmic. And I'll tell you, I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm still shopping. Because I really do like the cause and effect idea of karma. I really do like that. And yet sometimes when I am ending up with an effect that I don't like, I want to be able to say, God, please fix this mess. So I like having both. How does this relate to non-stealing? this concept of non-stealing. I sat down and I made a list. And I invite you to do this. But I made a list of everything I ever stole. Did this yesterday morning. I was 12 years old. Angela Bukitis. She was the queen of the cool kids. And I so wanted to be a cool kid. So we all met at the Woolworths at Richland Mall in Columbia, South Carolina. And after we'd eaten caramel corn and harassed the pigeons and everything, we went into the Woolworths. And Angela said, we should all steal water guns. Now what was funny, I had money in my pocket. I could have bought a water gun. And yet I stole one. I still remember it was orange. I stole a water gun. I still worry somebody's going to come after me for that water gun. I stole a water gun. I stole some stuff from my brother's room. By the way, this is all going on video, so... I stole some stuff from my brother's room. I used to steal cigarettes from my mother and father. You know, I may have shaded an IRS deduction or two in the last 30 years. The most interesting thing I've ever stolen, and this rounds out the list, I was actually part of the Richland County Teenage Republicans. And at one of our meetings, somebody had left the storage room open. Now, I'm probably 18, 19, something like that. I was an older kid. And they had left the storage room open. So this would have been late 70s, early 80s. And inside was a box of campaign buttons. Nixon campaign buttons. And my buddies and I went, these are going to be valuable someday. So we swiped big handfuls of them. And you know what? I felt like they owned me. And I finally sent them back 30 years later with a letter of apology. Now, beyond that, I can't remember a time I've stolen. I think I've told you all the times I've stolen just now. So then I started thinking, when have people stolen from me? Well, I got caught up in a Ponzi scheme when I was in my 20s. I lost $6,000 there. Somebody broke out my car window, stole my speakers when I was 19. That was just the ultimate. And then someone stole from me here last weekend. Yeah. Marty said, people want to be able to buy your books, and it would be so great if they were signed. Let's put them out on a table. So I put them out on a table. And I say, $20 for a book. But I notice that sometimes people don't pick up a book because they're concerned about leaving the money, so I'll throw a $20 bill in there. It's my own $20 bill. Half the money goes here. Half the money goes to me, and out of my half, I pay for the book. So I make a buck or something like that. Last week when we were here, someone stole the $20. Can you believe yoga people would do that? Or can you believe church? Yeah, I can. People are people. People are people. That's just it. People are people. You know what I found? I've gotten very much into yoga. Yoga people don't think yoga people would ever steal anything. Used to be I was very much into horses. Horse people thought horse people would never steal anything. Did you know that in ancient Judaism, in the Israelite community, if you stole something, you were required to give it back. That's it. You were required to give it back. If you didn't have something to give it back, then you became the slave of the person you stole from. But there was no concept of prison whatsoever. There was no concept beyond of punishing. And we in our culture punish. You know the way I look at it? Possibly because I stole that water gun or those buttons. That's why I ended up getting ripped off for $6,000. I do find it interesting that the numbers of time I've stolen have almost equaled exactly the numbers of times people have stolen from me. So that starts to make me think, a little bit of karma going on here. So whoever took the money, I feel concerned about that person. They just invited some karma that's going to come their way. Judaism, the book of Torah says, thou shalt not steal. And like I say, if you steal, you become a slave of the person who stole for you. In Buddhism, I love Buddhism again because it does not say thou shalt not. Buddhism says, I undertake the training ritual to abstain from taking what is not given. How do you know if it's stealing? Did somebody give it to you? Yesterday, I took my dog Jake for a walk. And when I got to the park, I was practicing what I was going to say to you this morning. And I was going to tell you about stealing that water. By the way, I feel so much better. I've told everybody now, Woolworths, I'm sorry. But when I took Jake to the park and I was practicing this, I was like, I'm thirsty. So I walked over to the water fountain, and I kid you not, guess what was sitting on the water fountain? An orange water gun. And I thought, how cool is that? I can't wait to, I'll bring this in and I'll show it to everybody. And then I thought, that wasn't given to me. So I put it back. If it's not given to you, give it back. Why? Who cares? I mean, from a religious standpoint, if you want to talk about society and ethics and everything like that, of course you want to know that your stuff is okay, that other people aren't going to take your stuff. But from a spiritual standpoint, why should we care if someone steals from us? And why should we not steal, more importantly? When I stole that water gun, I did it for the thrill. The shame and the embarrassment I felt for doing it nowhere equaled the thrill. People steal because they want something that someone else has, either to deprive them of it or to get it because they feel like they want it themselves. The universe is about what we believe about ourselves. If we believe in abundance, then we will materialize abundance. If we believe in lack such that we have to take from other people, we will manifest lack. People who steal, by the way, I love this concept too, because thou shalt not lie or non-lying is in every one of these four traditions. You have to lie to yourself before you steal. You have to justify your actions. Think about it. It's justifiable. People pilfer more from places where they work where they're unhappy than places where they're happy because they feel justified. What does that mean? They feel like an injustice is already occurring and they're seeking to bring it back into balance by stealing. So the first thing we need to do is to be truthful with ourselves. If we're unhappy, go somewhere else. Rather than ever taking from someone else, affirm that we have all that we need. In the five yamas of Patanjali, it's called asteya. It means non-stealing, but it means more than taking material objects, it means taking credit for ideas that are not yours. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ does not mention stealing. However, he does say, And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks from you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Why is this? Because we need to be unattached to what we have. And we all know that giving is what causes receiving, right? We have to give to receive. To the extent that we give in our lives, that we give love, we receive love. If we give money, we receive money. We give attention, we receive attention. Whatever we give, we receive. And the tragedy of a person who steals is twofold. Number one, they can't trust anyone else. And number two, they have tipped the universe out of their favor, and they're going to experience more and more lack and more negativity. Jesus does say this: blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. As always, when I'm talking, I'm asking you to consider both yourself and others. Consider your actions, whether or not you ever steal credit or anything from someone else, and begin to understand that that is putting yourself into a negative lacking position. The other thing is to understand if people take from you. Somebody's been stealing something from my home, and I didn't realize it until they actually left me a note telling me. Marilyn Gibson made this little prayer box and gave it to me last year at Christmas. It's an Altoids can, all decorated up with the words prayer box on it. Now, some people believe you should never steal, period. That's it. Anything taken without somebody else's permission, that is terrible, and you should be punished for this. This little prayer box sits on our altar, and it has a little stack of papers next to it and a pen, and so we write and we put prayers in it. And we've had friends do this when they come by. Well, it's my prayer box. And those are my pieces of paper. This was a note to me and Marty from our maid. Look at all the smiley faces. Mr. and Mrs. Bowen, I hope you don't mind, but each week when I come to clean your house, I've been leaving a prayer in your prayer box. I wanted to share with you that my prayer has been answered, and I'm going to be having another baby. Thought you might like to hear. Thanks, Carrie. The truth of who you are can never be stolen from, nor can it even be enhanced. It simply is a light of God expressing in this world at this time for a reason. You're here to have fun, you're here to grow, and you're here to bless and serve other people. Not a bad assignment, I don't think, on what Edwin Gaines calls the party planet. Just be aware of this concept of stealing, and more importantly, we've all had people who've ripped us off in the past. Bless them. Let them have their karma, and don't take it on yourself. Grab somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, in an infinite universe, nothing can be taken from us. And so, God, as we release our attachments, and as so we seek to no longer take anything from anyone else, be it a physical object or credit, we allow ourselves to vibrate in an energy of prosperity and fullness. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.